Or Lee Red.
And then 1, 2, 3. That was a very NSYNC clap.
Was it? I was a little bit ahead of you on mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Hi. We're NSYNC.
well, not, apparently. Only from one perspective.
Yeah, Justin would just say, hi, we're NSYNC. And they'd be like, well, you're NSYNC. They're just fucking NSYNC, fuck all. And he's like, what you say here? They're like, nothing, we're all NSYNC. That's why we're called NSYNC. I'm thinking about changing our name to Justin and the NSYNC cats. What do you think? Sure, why not? Do we still appear on the album cover? No.
You never did.
Do you know what's always really bothered me, right? Is that, so when the Sugar Babes released like their greatest hits, like back in 2006 or something, and this was after the third lineup change, because the CD was called Overloaded, because obviously their first song was called Overload. And I thought, oh, obviously, that's cool. But this is the third lineup change, and they had those three girls on the front. And I was like, if you've got a greatest hits CD that's full of songs of three different lineups, why wouldn't you just have the Sugar Babes logo and then have, like, the title Overloaded? Like, wouldn't that make so much more sense? Like, it's all...
I'm furious about it.
It just seems like if I was in the record company, I'd be like, yeah, like, of course that's what you would do. Like, there's, like, three versions of a girl band on this CD. Why put pictures of the latest
one? Yeah, there's probably some branding people somewhere who'd be like, no, but it's not, it's on, you know, their brand is the pictures of them being sexy and sugary.
I guess so. Can I tell you what else annoyed me around the same time?
Please do.
So... And you can't cut any of this.
No, this is a great opening to season two. I'm glad we made people wait for this.
So Girls Aloud released their greatest hits at the same time. After only three albums, which everyone thought was weird, but they were like, well, we have released like 13 singles already and we're going to have another three or like four songs on the record. So like, why not?
So when they say greatest hits, they just mean collection of releases.
Yeah, but I mean, all their songs up to that time were like top 10, so...
Well, yeah, but still, greatest hits implies that there's some kind of selection. It's just all the
Yeah,
hits.
I guess so, yeah.
Anyway, sorry. So that's what annoyed me about it. What annoyed you about it?
So they called it The Sound of Girls Aloud, The Greatest Hits. And it was a great album cover. It was all like silhouettes of them and stuff, which is what the Sugar Babes maybe should have done. But anyway... The tour that they had done the year before was for their album from the year before that, which was the Chemistry album, right? So it was the Chemistry tour. Great tour, great album. But because they released the DVD of that tour around the time of the Greatest Hits coming out, they called the tour DVD The Sound of Girls Aloud, The Greatest Hits Live. Even though that wasn't the tour. But after the CD came out, there was a Greatest Hits tour, which they never released on DVD because they'd already released a DVD called The Greatest Hits Live, which wasn't The Greatest Hits Live. So as a big Girls Aloud fan, me and the rest of the community was like, there's this whole tour that we never got to fucking see because some arsehole in the marketing department thought it was a good idea to, like, label this other tour the Greatest Hits thing, just so, like, it looked nice on the shelf with the other fucking stuff at the time. And it bugged me so much, Tom, because I really want to see that fucking show.
Fucking arseholes, man.
Yeah, I saw it live, though, and it wasn't that good, so...
Did the... Did the Chemistry album feature the song Biology?
Yes.
Was there anything else on that album or around that album called Physics?
No.
Then I hate them.
Oh, Girls Aloud, the second greatest girl band of all time.
Right. Let's not go into who the first is. right, should I do the thing? Should I do the intro thing?
Yeah, let's do the intro so they know what fucking girl band we're talking about today.
Yeah, we're taking this thing in a real different direction with season two. All right. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. Yeah,
season two.
Season two, eh?
Whoever thought we'd get here?
I know.
Yeah, I'm so glad we made it. Time will never change it.
There it is.
No. You know it's time for season two. Sorry, that was a reference to Goodbye by the Spice Girls.
Oh.
Yeah. So glad you came back for our humor that's whack. Yeah. You know it's time for season two. How many books were 2 and 2? And none of them are featuring Jews.
Jesus Christ. Hermione transitioned over to this season as well.
Well, fucking hell. If you read all the Narnia books, I'm pretty sure that the Jews would never make an appearance in that series as well. Fucking hell. See, Tom only read the first 2 books before we made our like decisions, so he doesn't know how racist the Narnia books get as you go on.
No, I don't. But I might read it because I fucking love that shit.
You kind of should. I mean, they are good books, just super racist. Like, the Telmarines, who are the neighbouring country to Narnia, are all described as, like, dark-skinned baddies who stink of garlic. And it's like, whew, fucking hell.
Yeah, they sound awful.
Yeah, someone's got a chip on their shoulder. No, fucking hell. Yeah, we're back with season two, talking about The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe is our first book.
Yeah.
And what's our second book going to be, Tom?
Twilight.
Fucking Twilight.
Fucking Twilight. That's it. That's our accent.
Yeah. Should we try and do the whole episode? So fucking Lucy went into the wardrobe. She was like, fucking hell, so many coats. And then there's snow under my feet.
Ah, it's like we never went away.
It's a fucking lamppost. Oh, God. No, yeah. So, I mean, like, things and stuff. Let's just fucking crack on.
Well, yeah, this is it. Should we crack on? I feel like the 8-minute intro about girl bands was pomp and circumstance enough.
Yes, my favourite piece of music.
I'm not sure that's even what I meant to say. All right, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, fucking 4 evacuees get kicked off a train and they're like, your parents are dead. And they're like, no.
Your parents are dead is Arnold Schwarzenegger kicking them off the train.
Yeah. Anyway, so the kids pick up their belongings.
Yes, it's sent away from London during the war because of the air aids.
Yes. Someone dropped a bottle out a window. Some dirty homosexual dropped a bottle of 6 pints of spit out of a window.
Dropped 6 pints of spit out of the window. He had them all lined up on the windowsill. Yeah. Left the window open.
But no, the kids end up at this lovely manor house in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
With a batty old professor. His name is Batty. His logic is erratic. Toys in the attic. Potato in a jacket.
Yeah, and they're all buzzing because the old guy's a pushover and he's going to let them do whatever they want.
Yeah, it's like, do what you want in my house. Take this bucket of paint. Take a cup of shit. Take a syringe full of only 5 pints of my saliva.
Only 5, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine how big that syringe would have to be.
I know.
Roll up your sleeve, Lucy.
Oh, It's okay. It's only the equivalent of 7 epidurals. And then he's like, yes, run. Do what you want to my house. Just don't go in the basement. And they're like, why? And then he just disappears into the shadows.
Cut to the next scene. The kid's walking down to the basement.
They kick open the door and they just see him with a ball gag in his mouth strapped to the ceiling with a small ferret swinging from his penis.
Looking like it's trying to crawl into a tight space in there somewhere.
Yes. He's like, ah, oh, it's taken me 7 months to stretch my urethra, but damn, it's still too tight.
Oh, hi, children.
Yes. It's okay, we've still got at least 3 years left in this war. I'm sure it'll fit by the end. I'm sure when I wave you off at that train station, me and Mr. Ferret Button will give you our kindest regards. Him from my urethra, me from my hand. Anyway, please close the door when you get back upstairs. I like it, dog. Let's go upstairs and just explore the rooms. There's tons of spare rooms.
Indeed. They want to go outside and frolic in the hay, but they can't.
Why? Because it's raining.
It's fucking raining. It reminds them too much of the air raids.
Yeah.
God's spitting on us. Look how many pints there are.
And it's gay god. Gagod. Gagod is spitting on us. Oh, God.
Was the 6 pints of spit thing... Do we need to explain that?
We brought it up in...
In Harry Potter, did we?
I think so.
I'm sure we had Dumbledore spitting into a load of pint glasses.
Yeah. If not, there was this thing that if you... And it might have been true, but I don't think it is. If you drink 6 pints of someone's spit who has HIV, that you can catch HIV from it.
Apparently so. I was surprised that it was that much.
I was surprised it was that little. I thought if you sat in the same toilet seat as them, you'd get it.
If I'm going to be drinking spit, at least make it a challenge worthwhile.
Yeah. Anyway, so fucking hell, they start exploring the house and there's loads of spare rooms. And then they find a room with a wardrobe and Lucy's like, fucking hell, it's a wardrobe. Never had one of those before. I've always just chucked my clothes on the floor or hung them over my fucking door.
It's a signal for do not disturb.
Yeah, except it stops a door from closing properly, so it's very easy to disturb.
But that's all right, that's the whole plan.
Yeah, it's all right. I just say, oh, Mum, it's okay, I'm just, you know, glossing me bed knob.
Look, I've drawn a little face on it.
Oh, God. And Lucy decides to investigate because she's that kind of girl. So she opens the door and she's like, she opens the door, but she won't shut the door because everyone knows you must never shut a door.
Never.
Ever.
That's why Lucy hangs her clothes over it.
Yes. She's like, I must be ready at all times for everyone to see it. And by it, I mean it. Those bedposts need to shine like a brass pan that's just been bought from IKEA. Anyway, so she gets in the wardrobe. And she, like, they're full of fur coats, which I don't approve of. And then she keeps on, like, feeling more fur coats. Which is like, is it me or are there tons of beavers in here?
And then she feels the floor turn rather queer.
Yes. It's like, oh, it's all gay and playing Cher music. And there's AIDS.
We came here to get away from that.
And why is everyone so snarky? Anyway, so, and then she feels things that feel like hard and rough. And she's like, oh.
She's like, ooh.
Oh, mind me, you stick that soldier. And then she realizes it's made of wood, and she's like, oh, was there an accident? But the tree doesn't reply, and she's like, oh, it's because you're a tree. Are you a gay tree? And one of his branches just starts to hang limply, and she's like, it's okay, I understand.
I knew it was queer in here.
Yes. Snow, trees, wind.
Look at that fawn mincing about.
Yes, with his long hair. It's everything Beyonce loves.
Mr. Bumness.
No, it's Mr. Tongueness.
Bah.
Don't. He's a bad man anyway. So she sees bad man. So she sees so she sees a lamppost.
Yeah, wearing like tracksuit bottoms and a chain.
Yeah,
that's what bad men wear, isn't it?
Yeah, and Mel C. And he's like, "Hello, I'm Sporty Four." No, Fawn appears with an umbrella, and then chapter two, it says, what Lucy found there.
Yes, Mr. Tumnus was so surprised, he dropped all his parcels.
Yeah, he dropped all of them. But he was carrying four, and each of them was a Funko Pop for the other Fawns. You can guess what they were.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's like, what are you? And she's like, what? And Vinny's like, who are you?
Who are you?
Yes. And then he's like, are you a daughter of Eve? And she's like, who? The rapper? And he's like, yes.
Because yes.
Yeah, of course. Can't you tell by how white I am? just one of those things, you know, her husband was white, so I just came out ultra white, but it's okay. No one calls us names and she takes me shopping. And then Lucy starts crying. Oh, God. And then he's like, are you a human girl? And she's like, yes. And he's like, I've never seen one before. No, he says, I'm Mr. Tumnus. I have no first name and no middle name, just the last name.
But you must call me Mr.
Yes. Maybe Mr. is my first name, like Mr. Mister. Take my broken hooves, help me walk again, like I'm wearing
clothes.
Like I'm clothes, cause I would be warm instead of this stupid scarf. The belly keeps me adorned. Yeah. He brings it as an electric guitar. She's like, I love this sound. He's like, sorry, it's still at least 40 years away for you. All this music here. You just, you'll be dead before it's good.
You'll be dead before it's good. Now, fuck off.
But you know, it's true what they say. Things are sent to try. But don't worry, Lucy. Your time's coming around. So don't still try. I dropped the parcel. Help me pick it up. I'll let you keep one. You little pup. Let this forest see what you've got. And then give it all back to me.
That's not the Spice Girls.
Anyway, he says, how interesting. You're a girl with hair and a face and feet. Would you like to come back to my place?
Yeah.
She's like, I really can't. He's like, come back to my place. I've got a cave and tea and cake.
And some sardines.
Yeah. He makes that sound nice, and it's not.
What, sardines on toast?
Yeah.
Sardines on toast are well nice.
Oh, God. That's like the most Tom thing you've ever said, and I don't want to do this podcast anymore.
I mean, I remember having it at my... It's a very, like, grandparents' house thing, and that's where I remember having it when I was a kid, but I liked it.
Oh, God. If someone offered me that, I'd be like, fuck off. And I would throw it... I'd throw the dish on the floor, overturn my chair, and storm out.
I've seen him do it.
Yeah. See, I don't love me sardines.
Just add that one to the list.
So she's like, I really mustn't. I must get back to my wardrobe. And he's like, what's a wardrobe? And she's like, oh, it's in the spare room. He's like, ah, you come from the land of spare room and the country of wardrobe. Ah, how fascinating. And how bad listening I must be. Yeah. Anyway, come back to my place. And she's like, okay. So they hold hands together and then they skip back to his little man cave.
Back to his man cave.
Yeah, and then he's like, have a cake. And he shoves a cake in her mouth and sellotapes it shut. He's like, ha ha ha. And I removed the sellotape when she swallowed.
6 hours later, she woke up.
Yes. And he's like, you know what? I've never seen my bedpost so clean. But now he starts playing her a little tune that she gets all sleepy and then he starts crying.
Yeah.
Like a little bitch. So Mr. Tumnus is crying, and then Lucy's like, why are you crying?
Why are you crying, Mr. Tumnus?
Yeah.
That's Lucy's
He's
voice.
He's like, I'm such a bad fawn. Such a dirty bad fawn. And I need to be punished, Lucy.
I tie myself to this rack on the wall.
Yes.
I have a selection of instruments.
Yes. Just get out the wax strips. Take off every inch of fur, one by one. And even if I scream and tell you to stop, you must keep going. Do you know what I'm saying? She's like, I really must be going. He's like, no, don't go.
He's like, no, don't go. We can only stop if I say the special word.
Yes. When I say the word, frampulous, that's when you're allowed to leave. And I have a stammer, you see, and saying the fur word sometimes is difficult. So if I stammer when I say it, that doesn't count. So you may be here a while.
I don't know why I chose that word, really.
Yes. I should have chose the word... instead. But then you might mistake that just for me exhaling. Which would be good for no one, Lucy. Lucy? Lucy! She's already late. Running back to that lamppost as quick as she can. Now he's fucking crying because he's like, no, I'm a bad fawn. I'm like being hired by the witch. And I said to her, look, if I ever meet a daughter of Eve, I would make them go to sleep and then I would take them to her castle.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's like, but you didn't though. You didn't. And you that's why you're a good fawn because you started crying instead.
And he's like, started talking about some weird shit and tying herself up to a thing, but you know.
Yes. And then you put a home wax kit in the microwave and handed me the strips, and then you said poof a few times. Well, not poof, but poof. But it's easier to say a poof, don't you think? And he's like, yes. Well, it depends on what part of London you're in.
The part with all the AIDS.
Makes sense. But yeah, he says she's the white witch and she's the ruler of the land. She makes it winter but never Christmas. And if she finds out that you are here, she'll cut off my penis and stick it to my forehead and call me an actual dickhead. And Lucy's like, oh no, Mr. Tumnus, that's not good at all.
Your voice has changed a lot, girl.
Yeah. But yeah, he says, no, the White Witch will rule everything until the four thrones at Caer Paravel are filled.
Yes.
And I love that, because I love, like, my, like, love for, like, Arthurian names and stuff. It sounds like an Arthurian kind of name. So I love that term. Caer Paravel. It's like, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking dig it.
Fucking four thrones.
Yeah. If I was to ever have kids, which I won't because I can't stand them, I would name them all like names like that.
What, Caer Paravel?
Yeah, so there would be Caer Paravel, Joyous Guard, Guinevere, Galahad, and that's probably enough kids. Four's enough.
Four's too many, if you ask me.
Yeah. I might just get one and name them all that. Your name is Caer Paravel, Joyous Guard. Guinevere Galahad Etienne.
Was going to try and spread the bullying out among four potential kids, but no. You're going to get all of it.
Yeah, Paravel sounds like a 90s chocolate box. Sorry, I'm just thinking of that Milk Tray advert where like the guy like busts in through the window to have sex with the woman, but it's okay because he has chocolates.
That's how you do it.
Rape is good if you bring some food. That's the end of the advert. Much like the we've spoken about it before, so we won't again, but I might just in case. Do you remember the Hall Soothers adverts where she's in the back of the limo and she takes a Hall Soother and like it goes into like a man like appears and like it's like kissing her throat and stuff as if that's meant to be how effective the soother is at like soothing your throat. And it's got that Robert Palmer song that you're not mine, da-na-da, my eyes were facing number to love, as this guy is like necking her, and then she finishes the soother, and then she like sort of wakes up from her like dream, and then what does she do? She pops another one, and then it starts all over again. It's like fucking hell. Anyway, he's like, look, Lucy, I won't, we need to get you out of here, but we need to get you out of here quick. I'll take you back to the lamppost and you can find your way back. And then, I'm sorry. Again.
Yes. So he takes her back to the lamppost.
Yeah. Chapter 3, Edmund in the wardrobe.
Little prick.
Yeah, so they go back to the lamppost. Lucy finds her way back. Finds her way back. And she, because she didn't close the door because she's smart.
Yeah. Because she knows it's a very foolish thing indeed to shut oneself inside a wardrobe.
Yes. She isn't really, because, like, very few wardrobes have keys to lock them, so you could just push it open again.
Yeah, but this was the olden days, wasn't it?
When what? Like, what special accoutrement did a wardrobe have in the olden days?
I assume some sort of lock. Or just, you know, they were harder to open from the inside. Otherwise, why would it have been such a foolish thing?
Just fucking kick it in, it's a wardrobe.
Yeah, Lucy.
Yeah, you fucking stupid bitch. Yeah, you and your fucking bed knobs. So Lucy comes out of the wardrobe and she's like, guys, I'm here, I've been gone for hours. And Peter and Edmund and Susan are like, what? You've been gone for like
30 seconds.
We don't
give a fuck, Lucy.
Yeah, we didn't care. We didn't even miss you. We were glad you were gone.
Yeah.
We made a whole plan of how we're going to have a whole new family now. Whole new dynamic.
And now you fucking
ruined
it. You
come back and you spoil it all. Now we've got to share our food with a fourth person. Now we've got to share our milk tray. but yeah, like, they go back to investigate the wardrobe and it's normal again. Which made me first think, maybe it only works on, like, rainy days, like once on a rainy day.
Huh, because it's a rainy day the second time.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if that's consistent. For me,
but
I was just like
the last time. It's not. I think the when they all eventually go in, I don't think it is a rainy day. So that I think that's when my theory fell apart.
Oh.
I think the wardrobe.
Yeah,
just
I think
really
it's cunt. It's one of those things that's just like a little bit mystical and doesn't have any real kind of hard and fast answer.
Yeah, maybe if you go in there looking for it, then you can't find it
unless. You've been there before and know about it? Because Lucy goes in there looking for it the second time, doesn't she?
That's true, so yeah.
But then I guess
then
she
why
would
you ever open a wardrobe looking for a fucking secret thing at the back? Before this book, it's not a thing that you would have done.
No.
Or maybe it's just got to be a certain minute of an hour.
Yeah.
Like only at 13 minutes past the hour.
Only if they pay tribute to the wardrobe with a worthy sacrifice.
Yes, with a Werther's original.
Yeah.
Throw it in the back. If they don't hear it hit the back wall, they know they're good to go. If they do and his skin is back out, they're like, ah, oh, we're too late.
Our sacrifice was not worthy.
Yes, we need something bigger, like a goat or Lucy.
Edmund, cut off one of your legs.
Yes, I know you lost the other one in the bombing. Yeah. But we need so yeah, Lucy feels sad about it. Edmund's been a total cunt about it all.
Yeah.
But then the next day they play hide and seek and Lucy goes back to the wardrobe and then Edmund sees her go back in and he's like, ah, oh, I'm gonna go back in. And I don't know what he's gonna do, like go back in and fucking tease her in the dark in the wardrobe, like it seemed a little bit nefarious to me.
Yeah, I can't really remember why they both ended up in there.
Yeah, because he sees her disappear in there, and he's like, oh, I'm going to go in and tease her. And it's like, is that what you're going to do? Or are you just a little pervert?
Yeah.
I think the latter. I think Edmund has a little perv hand like Jeremy Beadle.
And no legs, as we know.
Yeah. And he's like, Lucy, come here. I want you to make my hand as shiny as this bedpost. And she's like, oh, Edmund, don't be ridiculous. And he's like, sorry. But then he goes in, he ends up in the snow, and he's like, Lucy, Lucy, where are you, Lucy? Yeah, look, it's fucking gays everywhere.
Literally, they're fucking.
Yeah, look, it's George Michael.
He's brought his urinal with him.
And now it's turned into a disco ball. Wow, what a cool music video. But then a fucking sleigh bell comes along, and it's a dwarf and a witch.
Yes, a witch being driven along on a sledge by a little fat dwarf.
Yeah, little fat dwarf. Covered in bees. Oh, he's not covered in bees.
I mean, he can be covered in bees.
Sure. She's like, I only like it when you smell like honey. And unfortunately...
You are their hive now.
It's okay, we're going to get boil of you. I'll scoop you out and eat you raw. Does that sound good? Does that sound fun? She says as she pinches his cheeks. And he's like, I guess so. Anything for you, missus. She's like, good. Now, put my socks on for me. And he's like, And she's like, what? Do you not like my feet? And he's like, your feet? No, I love your feet, missus.
Missus.
And she's like, good. I know they're made of ice and covered in Philadelphia. But it's the only way I can get my socks to stay on, you see. So just ignore the smell and get on.
I'd thought there'd be better sock adhesives than Philadelphia cheese, missus.
No! Philadelphia, especially the one where they did the cleverish with Cadbury, is the best kind. And I want you to sing the song as you do it. In tune, of course. He's like, okay. Ba-da-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba, put your sock on your foot, Mrs. She's like, good, 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 good. Can't wait to sue Bruce Springsteen in the future. Even though money has no value here. I haven't even got a bank account. And what's a lawyer? Anyway, so Edmund sees her and she's really fucking white. But has red lips.
Mm.
And he likes that.
Yeah.
And she's like, who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm Edmund. And he's like, no, I'm looking for my sister. She said that she's been here with her fawn called Mr. Tumnus. And he'd said that something about cake and fucking waxing and bed knobs.
And shitloads of toast.
Yeah, he gave her sardines on toast. And she's like, sardines on toast? How utterly vile. Only gay lords like that. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know, miss.
That's why it's so popular here.
Yeah. She's like, good. I'm glad that you know what's right and what's wrong.
Now get on my sledge.
Yeah, she's like, are you... he just goes, no, I'm just a boy. I'm just a boy. And he's like, and then she's like, you're a boy. You're a son of Adam. How did you get here? And he's like, through a wardrobe, mate.
Through a wardrobe, mate, innit? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's odd that they call them daughters of Eve and sons of Adam when, like, Adam and Eve are not part of the creation story here.
They... the more you get... If you got to the end of all seven books, you'll see how it's... The whole thing is... A very Christian allegory. I mean, you didn't miss anything, but I mean, it's like Aslan is meant to be Jesus, basically.
Right.
So the whole thing is like a Christian allegory.
Hooray!
Yeah, we will love that. We will love Christianity. Because you can say whatever you want about them and they won't blow up a bus. Anyways.
But they might colonize your country.
Yes. But it's okay, they just improved the railroads.
and civilized the natives.
Yeah. and then she says, hey, do you have... and then he mentions, because we're in chapter four now, which is called Turkish Delight. And then he says something about, like, his brothers and sisters. And she's like, huh. And how many of there are of you are there? And he's like, oh, I've got an older brother and two sisters. And she's like, there's four of you? And he's like, yeah. And then she's like, and only four? And he's like, yeah. And then she's like, come into my sled. And he's like, all right.
Get in my sled.
Let me put my... She calls it something weird. What does she call it? Let me put my stomach around you.
My overly large stash of honeycomb.
Let me stretch out my labial folds, give them a good wringing out, and let me put those around you, keep them nice and cozy as you sit next to me. It's okay, the sour odour is what makes it delightful.
Gonna make you sticky in all kinds of ways.
Yes, it's okay though, the bees won't come near you if they don't like the stench. That's what you want, really. You don't want to end up like that fucking dwarf on the sledge. Look at him, he's barely alive.
He doesn't have any of my vaginal discharge.
No, he's just covered in bees. Anyway, scoot up. And then she's like, what would you like to drink? And he's like, I don't know. And she pulls out a potion bottle and, like, drops it on the snow. Like, a potion drink appears. And the dwarf picks up and gives it to him. He drinks it. He's like, oh, she's fucking amazing. She's like, good, drink more. So he does. He fucking chugs it. And she's like, And then she's like, would you like something to eat? And he's like, yes, please, miss. So she drops some more potion on the snow and a beautiful box of Turkish Delight appears.
Mm.
And he starts munching it up. And then...
But the witch knew that it was enchanted Turkish Delight. And once someone started eating, they would never want to stop. They would even eat until they died if they had enough.
Yes. Can you imagine dying by Turkish Delight? By Turkish Dur.
By Turkish.
You imagine dying by Turkish Dur?
A dur is one of the weapons of the Turkish army.
Is it really?
No.
Oh.
I mean, it might be.
Oh, shit, I forgot my dirt. Oh, that's right, mate. You can borrow mine. Oh, thanks, mate. That's right, mate. We're Turkish brothers.
I want to invent names for them, but I literally could not tell you a single Turkish name.
Say. Oh, that's right, mate. We're Turkey Twizzlers. We live by the dir, we die by the dir. Anyway, so she says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go back to where you're from and get all your brothers and sisters and bring them back and then bring them to my house. But don't tell them about me. I want you to keep it a big secret. A big secret like, what's my biggest secret? Well, I guess my biggest secret is that I have no hands and that I actually use small owls as my, fingers.
They're asleep now because it's during the day.
Yeah. It's how I can reach things that are so far away, you see. You see that box of matches over there? Look, it brought it back so quick. Anyway, do you know how to use matches? Because I don't.
And these owls sure don't.
Sometimes I just take one out of the box, I lick it, and then I throw it away. Is that what you're supposed to do? I mean, they're very heavy in mercury. This might be why my tongue is blue and my eyesight is fading. But alas, I just like the name matches.
Sounds like something you just lick, you know?
Yes, sounds sexy. Like, hey, do you want to put your hand in my box of matches? Well, Edmund, if you would like to, I would not say no. It's quite a big box, you see. I mean, you'll have to get approval from my owl hands.
They see all, you know. Look how far their heads can turn.
Yes, look. It's almost 360 degrees.
I use them like periscopes.
Yes. If I look up the anus, I can see right on the top.
Some people think it's cruel, but they fucking love it.
Take a match just so you'll always be reminded of me.
Every time you lick it.
Anyway, she's like, bring them back and bring them to that house which you see over there on the hill, but don't tell them why, because I want it to be a secret, because some people in this world think I'm a bad man. Think I'm a bad man. But I'm not. I'm a good person. I do lots of good things for good people. And I make you a prince, and I make your family dukes and duchesses, until one of them marries someone who's mixed race, not even that dark. And then when that happens, oh, there'll be trouble. And I'll kick them out the family, and I'll strip them of their titles, and they will be exorcised to America, where they will talk to a black woman in glasses who's very powerful. She has billions of dollars, and they will tell her everything, and I'll be very upset about it. But that's what happens when you have a ginger grandson. Anyways.
I seem to have drifted onto another topic, Edmund.
Anyway, do this and I'll give you more Turkish delight than your little stomach can handle.
Literally, so much you will die.
Yes.
That's what you want.
It's okay though, I'll provide a commode for you to sit on as you eat. And everyone's like, oh, okay. And then she's like, don't trust the thorns. Not the thorns, the fawns with an F. They lie about me, you see. This Mr. Tumless, I bet he said bad things about me.
I bet he offered you toast, didn't he? Sardines on toast? Yeah. Just like him.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking cunt. Then if you put on toast, it's Philadelphia. Blah, 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 you know? Anyway, so long, farewell. Come back when everyone else is with you. Bye. She drives away.
Yes.
Then Edmund's like, do you know what? I don't think I'm going to tell the others about this, because I bet you they'll take the side of the fawns and what Lucy says, and I like this queen witch person. But anyway, chapter 5, back on this side. For some reason, I thought that said back on the bus, and I was like, what?
Yes, back on this side of the door.
Yeah. So Lucy finds Edmund. She's like, oh, Edmund, my God.
Edmund, my God.
I mean, like, looking for you. It's all right, I brought you some food. I didn't wrap it in anything, but yeah, it's been in my pocket. It's just been a toast and some sardines. Yeah, take it. It's like,
just backed it out of her hand.
And then she's like, oh, I've been in Mr. Tumnus, and he's been saying how, oh, it's so awful here, how the witch has made it bad, and it's never Christmas. And then he's like, yeah, well, fawns are fucking liars, though, aren't they? And she's like, what's got into you? And he's like, Turkish delight.
Lots of it.
And then... So she's like, let's go back and tell the others. So they go back through the wardrobe. We get to chapter 5. Back on this side.
Of the door. Which we have already said.
No, it's just called back on this side.
Well, I wrote back on this side of the door.
Well, I think it just says back on this side.
All right, let's not look it up.
In fact, I think it just says back.
I think it's just called chapter 5.
I think it's just called cont dot. They find the others on the other side, and Lucy's like, oh my God, blah blah blah, and Edmund was there with me, blah blah blah. And Edmund's like, yeah, we were just playing a game.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, I wasn't even there though. I was just there in the wardrobe doing things that were not untoward with Lucy.
Yeah,
we just
went in the wardrobe together for a bit.
Yeah, and then I was like, Lucy, like, it's really furry in here. And she's like, oh, really? That's surprising. And he's like, yeah.
Well, some would say queer.
And everyone's like, what'd you call me? And she's like, and she's like, I know. I found those sketches that you made.
You shut up about my sketches, Lucy.
Yes, I just wanted to know what it would look like if an officer was leaning over and eating a banana.
And the banana belonged to a fireman.
Ha ha ha! God. But yeah. And then Edmund's like, no, there was nothing in the wardrobe. And then Lucy's like, but why you lie? And he's like... So fucking she runs away crying. And then Peter's like, do you know what, Edmund? You're such a little fucking shit. All you do is tease her, and for what? You think you're some big man or something?
Yeah, I think you're big.
Yeah, you silly cunt. And then
I did like Peter in that moment.
Yeah, me too. Peter's cool throughout all of this, I think.
Yeah, he's a sound, level-headed young chap, I should say.
And then they sort of keep on asking her the next couple of days, and Lucy sticks to her story. And Susan and Peter are like, I'm a bit worried because this is kind of nuts. So they go, they knock at the professor's doors. Well, maybe not doors, it might have just been one door.
It may have been one door. It's unclear how many doors the professor had.
It might have been one of those big double doors where you open them both at the same time for dramatic effect.
Yes, in which case they would have certainly knocked on both. Because that's how you do it.
They each took a knocker in one hand and went boof, boof, boof. And there's Susan. Peter. Oh, God. Wow. I'm not going to complete that joke, so if you didn't get it, then I'm really sorry. Yeah. Anyway, so they went in...
Either way.
So they go into the professor's office.
Yes, after grasping the
knocker.
And he's
like, hello!
Hello!
So they sit with the professor, then they were like, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, how
slow,
do you know
down,
your
children.
And then he's like, look, how do you know that your sister's story is not true? And then they say, well, Edmund said it was a lie. And then he's like, look, which one in the past has been more reliable? And they're like, well, Lucy, I guess. And then he's like, well, yeah.
Sounds like Edmund's being a bit of a cunt.
Yes, with an extra hard C at the start of that word.
Extra hard. Do you understand, children?
Yes. C is so hard, it's almost a fucking L. The professor says, look, there's three options. That Lucy's lying, she's mad, or she's telling the truth. And which one do you think seems the most likely based on her behaviour? And they're like, oh, look, but she was only gone like a minute. So how could it all be true? And then the professor's like, well, what time over here and over there may be different. Which makes it even more plausible. Because otherwise she would have hidden for longer if she was lying. You wouldn't walk into a wardrobe and straight out again and be like, tonight, Matthew, I am Cher.
Or would you, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you would...
Then I've got a smoke machine and some sliding doors upstairs. Yeah. I've also got a gramophone and records from the future.
Susan, bring your knockers.
Yes. This one's called If I Could Turn Back Tahuru. There's one I can't quite get my head around. It's called Believe. And they do this weird thing to her voice that I can't quite get my head around.
It's almost like it's from the future.
Yes. She goes, but I can't believe.
Answering the question posed by our first song, If You Could Turn Back Time.
Oh my God, she's created a conundrum. Anyway, would you like to come play chair with me in my boudoir? Wigs, spandex, smoke machines, Matthew Kelly, what more could you want?
Yeah, you've got Matthew Kelly up there as well. It's essential for a game of chair.
But yeah, he says, look, the other world most likely has a different time system, and that'd be weird for her to make up. So the professor says, this is a weird house. The weird things happen here. Weird, spooky things.
Yes.
Sometimes sexy things. Sometimes hands appear out of nowhere, just give you a little tickle and disappear back into the wall. Sometimes the eyes in the paintings watch you as you go through the bathroom. Sometimes I just stand in the bathroom watching you. Anyway, get out of this room, you young whippersnappers, and go play in the sunshine like other young people of your age.
Indeed.
Oh, and also mind your own business. Says.
Yes, we might try minding our own business.
So anyway, yeah, the days pass and it turns out that the house is like a tourist attraction because it's so big and weird.
Yeah, so Mrs. McCready, who hates the kids, often brings groups of people around and she tells the kids, you better stay out of my fucking way while I'm bringing a tour group round, you little shit.
Yeah.
Like that.
I never wanted kids. That's why I had my uterus ripped out by a fox when I was 13.
I've got it in a jar downstairs. I'll show you it.
Yeah, that's right. I kept it pickled.
Probably still works. Yeah. That fox was very dexterous.
Yeah, he was fantastic, that Mr. Fox. but yeah, one day there's a tour guide going around and they're trying to like, they're trying to hide from it, but they can't seem to. Then they end up in the spare room again.
That's like, maybe the magic of the house was pushing them towards Narnia.
Yes. By Narnia, I mean the gorgeous valley in between my legs, said Mrs. McCready. Magic of the house is pushing you.
Look at my Narnia, children.
Yes. Come see my snow-capped mountains.
My Punania.
fill up my care, Paravel. Anyway, so they fucking end up in the spare room and then Mrs. McCready, like, comes into the spare room and so they're like, fuck, so they all quickly jump into the wardrobe and then they all keep on trying to find the back of the wardrobe, but they don't.
They do not.
And that's where this chapter and this episode ends.
It is indeed. Peter leaves the door ajar because you should never shut yourself in a wardrobe.
Yes, even when you're trying to hide from someone.
Yeah, apparently.
Which is dumb.
That's what's foolish, if you ask me.
Yeah. Yeah, foolish, like that Ashanti song. Do you remember? Because my days are cool without you, but I'm hurting while I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
Then my heart can take no more, I keep on coming back to you. Baby, when you hurt me, hate me and deserve me. And they're like, Susan, shut up! She's like, sorry. We're trying to hide from Mrs. McCready and her Punania. But yeah, fucking hell, come back next week to find out what happens when all four kids end up in Narnia. 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 That is my rendition of... got the song anyway. No, what's that tune by fucking Enigma? Return to Innocence, that's it.
Fucking hell, man.
Yeah, do you remember? Yeah, do you remember that one?
With I don't the, know how your knowledge of 90s culture is just as encyclopedic as it is.
Do you know, remember that song though? The
one that went, not like... based on what you just did, no.
Oh, no, but the song is like, oi, ya, hi, ya, hoi, ya, hey, ya, hoi, ya. It was like Native American throat singing.
I don't think so.
Which they didn't get a license for to use the sample, and the guys sued them. And I was like, damn fucking right.
Classic.
In here. Anyway, tune in next week. Indeed. See what happens.
It's the guy, you know, the professor that they live with.
Yes.
Is that the kid from Magician's Nephew?
Yeah.
Thought so.
Yeah. The tree in the garden, eventually he cut it down to make a wardrobe out of it.
That's it, yeah. I couldn't remember exactly what it was at the end of Magician's Nephew that made me go like, oh, that's the fucking guy from the thing.
Yeah. I wonder, like, what a weird thing to do, though, to cut down a tree to make a wardrobe.
Yeah.
Like, what was he planning to do with it?
Make a portal to Narnia?
To do what?
If there was another world and you were like, oh, I have a thing that I might be able to make a portal to that world with.
I guess so. Anyway, fucking hell. Come back next week if you want. If you don't, then fuck off and sign up to our Patreon instead. So yeah, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And...
this has been season 2. Well, not the whole thing.
What should our sign-off be for season 2?
Oh, are we not going to go with, like, you know, Knockers has been Knockers or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the running gag for this thing has been.
Yeah.
Deny. Guess Bedknobs has been Bedknobs.
Yeah. Air AIDS has been Air AIDS.
Yeah, Punani has been Punania.
Yeah.
Ah.
All of the above.
Yeah, all of the above.
Has been all of the above.
Yes. I've been Tom.
No, you haven't.
He's been Tom, I've been Gifton, and all of the above has been all of the above.
Bye.
Narnia, don't go there.